So when Maharaj was reading the purport, the verse in the purport, I was just thinking how this principle applies in our preaching also. That we might think that, well, we'll just make it easier for everyone and then more people will come. Instead of insisting on all these rules and regulations so strictly, you just tell everyone, well, you do what you like and chant Hare Krishna. Well, you can do that at some... We don't actually say that, but in the beginning we may not tell everyone that you have to follow everything. But if we say that it's all right, that you don't have to follow everything strictly, then the whole thing becomes cheating, actually. You can't say that you get the same result from following strictly and not following strictly. Just a few days ago, one godbrother was telling me that another godbrother had written some message that he was writing in this spirit, that let's be realistic, that so many people get initiated, they don't follow strictly, they don't chant their rounds, so why don't we just make initiation, just be realistic and make initiation with four rounds, and you don't have to follow all the principles. According to him, he thinks that everyone, all the householders have enlisted sex, so you might as well just have three regulated principles. So another godbrother, this godbrother of mine was telling me, he wrote a very good reply, he sent it to me and said that it sounds like a good idea, but the only problem is that you don't become Krishna conscious. The whole point is lost. He gave a very good example that it's like in the American education system, they made the standards lower. So they, like 100 years ago, if you see the educational standard, like what is for the 10-year-olds then is for the 16-year-olds now. And he said you can do like, and he said then that, and you get many people who go through the whole school system. And they come out and they can't even read and write. They're practically semi-illiterate. And I see some of our devotees, they can't, you know, they like every word they spell it wrong and everything. I mean, so he gave a very good example. He said that, you know, you can make the standard lower and you can make someone an engineer even though they're not really very qualified, but I don't want to drive my car over bridges built by those engineers. A certain qualification is required to build a bridge that will stand nicely. Just like we see many old buildings, hundreds of years old, they're still standing. Whereas these modern buildings, many of them, they actually design them so they don't last long. The idea of qualities, apart from having lower educational standards, the whole idea of quality is lost in modern society. They make, just like I just had some repairs done on this computer, it's less than 2 years old. They're deliberately made in a manner that they don't last. Everything you get is... So the whole idea... People used to take pride in their work. And that's why you see, like the Howrah Bridge, for instance. It was built over 100 years ago. It's the busiest bridge in the world in terms of people going over, crossing it every day. It's still very solid and strong. What to speak of the Howrah Bridge, you have, there's an iron column in Delhi. It's pure iron. It's hundreds of years old. It's standing without anything to hold it. And, through wind and stuff. And there's not a speck of rust on it. And the modern engineers, they can neither work out how they can make such pure iron, it doesn't rust at all, and how it's even standing, how they can put it there. So there was an idea of quality that we should train people to come up to the highest level so they can do something really valuable for human society. But in the modern age, it's Mickey Mouse culture. it's Coca-Cola and cartoon culture, where people have no idea of doing anything properly. People are lazy. And in spiritual life, we ask them to chant 16 rounds, follow. 16 rounds is itself a concession. But they don't want to do that. And so we think, okay, we should accommodate them because we're interested in having so many. We want to have so many people because we have the idea then we'll be successful. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and our own Srila Prabhupada said that my success will be if one person goes back to Godhead. And actually, if we keep the standard high, then others can be inspired to come up to that. But if you don't make the standard high, then there's no chance of people coming to the highest standard because they don't know. They think the highest standard is something halfway down. That means that we're cheating them, and that's what Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva, that we're cheating them. So Maharaj was just telling me that in China they're translating all the books, they're changing it. Why is that? They think, well, we'll get more, and Chinese people will understand it. Well, they'll understand it at their level, but they won't understand what Prabhupada's saying. It's not what Prabhupada said. So they won't get Prabhupada's message because it's not Prabhupada's message. We may think, well, more people will praise us and they'll like it. But the whole point is lost. So we have to be very careful to understand what is the purpose of the Vedic knowledge and present that. Of course, there may be some techniques. Preaching means to that we have to make contact with people. We have to catch their attention at some level. So, if we immediately, just like we said, we don't want to talk in public about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's our ultimate goal, but it's not something, even among devotees, we have to be very cautious in discussing that. So we have to catch their attention. Some of the Maharaj is talking about Indrajumna Maharaj. We smile at them, we wave at them, and they think, oh, they like me. People think they like me. Well, we do, but we don't like what you're doing. We don't, you know, you're sitting on, lying on the beach, becoming what Sahodra Maharaj used to call a stool pakora. You got that? It's fried on the outside and stool on the inside, and sunbathing. So they lie on the beach, wasting their human form of life, and divacha teheya rajan kuta. What is that? Nidraya hriyate naktam. What is the next line? Nidraya hriyate naktam vyava harena vavayaha. They spend their nights either in sleeping or in sex indulgence. So on the beach, they spend their day sleeping on the beach and their night in sex indulgence. This is their holiday and intoxication. So we don't approve of what they're doing, but they think, oh, it's nice, it's fun. They have no idea what... We're just trying to catch it, somehow get them to think it's something nice. They have no idea what we actually want to give them. If they actually understood, they'd chase us off the beach as quick as they could. If we understood that actually we want you to give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and surrender your life to Krishna. So preaching means we make contact with... Preaching, you could say in some ways it's some kind of cheating or something, but the problem is that unless we ourselves are very clear what we're doing by speaking very clearly about it, at least among ourselves, then if we're all the time saying, yes, yes, you just do whatever you like and chant Hare Krishna, if we never speak the truth that actually everything else except surrender to Krishna is all nonsense, then we ourselves start to believe that this is our message, we don't have anything else more to say. So, Prabhupada also writes in that purport that we have to hear the Vedic knowledge from people who understand it. So, even in ISKCON today, you have to be very careful actually, because there are all kinds of things being said and done in the name of Prabhupada. So be careful. We see what Prabhupada says, and so many things, you know, they've imparted so many modern psychological ideas, and by becoming a disciple of Sigmund Freud, you won't become Krishna conscious. You've got your hand all over your mouth again. I'm just saying that because I saw Prabhupada. There was a little child, 1 year old, had his hand on his mouth, and Prabhupada had him go out. Had the mother take the child out and wash the hand. The thing, you put your hand on your mouth and you have your hand on a bead bag and on Srimad Bhagavatam and all these things. So it becomes contaminated. Alright, there's my 10 minutes. I was talking about we have to chant at least 16 rounds. Me too. We can chant 16 rounds. So, Hare Krishna.
So, would you think that, you know, the move in our society nowadays, you know, towards congregation preaching more than in ashram-based preaching, you know, people just being congregation rather than being in the ashram, is that in any way compromising Prabhupada's?
No, it's not inherently compromising what Prabhupada said. But the same principles have to be taught. As Prabhupada is saying, renunciation, where congregational members, they may not be ready for renunciation. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be prepared for that. Otherwise, if we tell them that, yes, you just live comfortably and be Krishna conscious, we don't tell them that, you know, at some point you've got to renounce either voluntarily or you'll be kicked out by force. I mean, one thing I see again and again in Prabhupada's books is that Prabhupada says that after the age of 50 one should retire, but I don't see anyone doing that, hardly, unless their marriage fails or something, which is quite common, but it's not exactly the
well, the problem is it's difficult for them to find the engagement once they're 50. You know, that they come to the temple. I see in Malaysia a few people that they come, they try it, but then they just don't find any.
Well, you have to be trained for that, doesn't it? Yeah. You probably need some help also. I mean, it's a big jump from one kind of life to the other.
I saw a few people recently in Malaysia. They retired, and they were coming to the temple, but then a short time later they found another job.
They probably need an ashram for older people. That's one thing I want to do, is make an ashram for older retired people, either in Vrindavan or somewhere, so people can come. That's what is one of the things Prabhupada wanted.
Well, one of the things Prabhupada also mentioned was that people think that the renounced order of life is meant for people who are suffering from physical disablement. You know, somebody's blind, or you know, they're incapacitated in some physical way. So, okay, those people should go to the temple. You know, I remember one time we were in Bombay. I went with Vasu Ghosh. We went to see somebody who wanted to try to make him a life member. We went to see some movie actor about being a life member, and the guy looked at us and said, "I said, oh, you're monks." He said, "You're monks." He said, "Why you? You said you look healthy. How come you're monks?" Because they, you know, they have the thinking that, you know, if somebody goes to be a monk, he goes to be a sadhu. You know, he's got some problem with material body. You know, he can't make it in the material world, so he becomes a monk. Because then, at least you'll get a place to live, you'll get food to eat, you know. So that Prabhupada mentions that in the purport there. So people also think like that, you know, to become a monk, there must be a reason why you become a monk, you know, that, you know, you can't make it in the material world. And sometimes even people came and said, you know, I'll give you my son. And then they find out the son has got some, you know, serious disease or something like this, you know. If you take my son, he can come and live in your ashram. You have to take care of him. So actually, you know, I mean, this is not the right understanding, of course. You know, the spiritual ashram is not meant only for people who are physically incapacitated. Meant for everyone. It's meant for people who are serious about making a solution to the problems of life. That's the real thing. Somebody really wants to get out of this material world. They really want to make a success of this life, to go back to God. So when we're really committed like that, then we have to find get the right association, put yourself in the right situation where you can be Krishna conscious. And family life, you can also do it. And in family life, it's not an obstacle. But Prabhupada says, what goes on in the temple should go on in the home. It shouldn't be any different. Just like in the temple. That's Maharaj, he likes that his disciples will come and live in the temple for a while. And then when they get married and they have their own home, they'll know what they're supposed to be doing. If you've had that experience, if you've never had the experience of living in the ashram, and then you move into household life, you know, you have no idea about how to have a proper spiritual home, how to spiritualize your family life. So living in the ashram is very good training for people, that they know what their lifestyle should be. You know, sleeping early, getting up early, not eating late at night, too late at night, not spending the whole night watching television or surfing on the internet. And every day, waking up in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna for a couple of hours, discussing Krishna consciousness every opportunity. So Narada is telling Vyas, you know, you've got to give them the real thing, the real message. And it's the tendency, we want a bit of the material and a bit of the spiritual. We want to make a little show of being spiritual, but at the same time, you know, we're really thinking about enjoying the material too. That I have to make it. I gotta have money, I gotta be rich, I gotta be materially successful before I can be Krishna conscious.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
I heard that one has to be materially sound to be spiritually sound. Is it true?
You have to be materially sound to be spiritually sound? Why is that? You mean if you have a disease, you can't be Krishna conscious?
No, you have to be financially stable or sustainable.
That's nonsense. That's nonsense. There are so many examples of devotees who are not financially stable or Krishna conscious. It's a misrepresentation of the philosophy. Or maybe you misunderstood what was said or whatever.
Well, at least they should be able to eat something. Should be able to get some food at least. You know, you should have some shelter. You should have some food. But that's a relative thing. You know, how much food do you need? How much can you eat? How much money do you need to be physically sound? The problem is, what will satisfy you? To be physical. What is the level of physical security you're looking for? Are you willing to accept what Krishna provides as being enough for you? If we were willing to accept, as we learned in Ishopanishad, right? Take our quota. So we were always saying, what does it mean? What is our quota? Maybe you could answer that. How do we know what is actually a person's quota?
As well as much as you can, as you need to eat. As much as you need, minimum. Yavan artha prayojanam, Prabhupada used to quote. Just what we need to exist, that's all.
Minimum necessity.
Yeah. But there are many cases of people who are like, you know, their whole financial base is very unsound, but still they're Tukaram, great devotee.
Kolavika Sridhar.
So it's not that first you have to be materially successful, then you should take to spiritual life. No, you should take to it immediately. That doesn't mean that one should be materially irresponsible, but it's not, Krishna consciousness does not depend on any material condition. Whoever said that is not preaching pure devotional service. They're preaching something different to what all our acharyas said.
Again, it's the same problem that you, we'll never have enough. You know, you're always thinking, well, this house or this car or my child's education. Who's going to pay my child's education? You know, to send a child to school, you've got to pay so much money. Education costs money. In India, they say my daughter's marriage. The dowry for our marriage, like this, goes on. And what about my retirement? When I retire, who's going to take care of me? I need some money. Will Krishna take care of me? Will Krishna pay the bills? We should be like Sudama, we can go to Dwarka, see Krishna, give Krishna some rice and he'll fill up our treasury.
Maybe. If we're a surrendered person. He didn't demand.
Well, I really think that again, it all depends on our faith. If we have faith in Krishna, you know, that what Krishna will take care of me. If you have that faith, you know, Krishna will provide. I mean, Prabhupada often gave the example of our movement, that our movement had so many centers around the world, and they were spending so much money and buying so many properties, and nobody had a job. Nobody had a job. And where did the money come from? Prabhupada said, Krishna is providing. So if you have that kind of faith, and we had that kind of faith in the 70s, we were doing it. Nobody had a job. We were just living by distributing books. And everywhere, you know, we were building temples, printing so many books, and, you know, Bhagavad Gita, a million copies, one printing. No. Krishna was providing.
If you have faith, but if you're not doing a sadhana properly, or if
that means where's your faith if you're not doing a sadhana properly?
Yeah. You can't say you have faith if you're not doing sadhana. You may have a little, but you don't have much. If you had faith, you'll do what you're supposed to do. You have to follow. The problems come because people don't follow properly. They don't chant Hare Krishna. They don't chant much. They get up in the morning, but then sometimes they'll get up and they don't chant. You know, they're sleepy. They don't try to chant. They don't have that determination to sit and try to chant. Maharaj was saying that we know nobody's following. We're initiating people and they're not following the problem. So this is a problem. You have to follow. If you follow, if our preaching is going to have any success here in Bangkok, if we're ever going to do anything, it depends on how well we can follow. If we follow strictly, then we will get some success, we'll get some results in our preaching. If we follow strictly the four principles and do this chanting 16 rounds, then we'll get some results. People will start to become Krishna conscious. Krishna will make arrangements. But if we make a show that I'm devotee but we're not following, then We won't get nothing on it. We hope. Prabhupada said, some people, you know, if they do have serious economic problems, they're so poor. He said, even I heard he said about Taiwan. He said the Thai people are so poor they can't become devotees.
Yeah, that's not now, is it?
Not now. They're much better off now. But in Prabhupada said the Thai people are too poor to become Krishna conscious. They're still trying. If people are still trying to solve their eating and sleeping problem, nowhere to sleep, nowhere to eat, no proper food, then of course difficult for them to be Krishna conscious. Like we see in very poor countries, you know, Cambodia worse, and Laos worse, you know, more poor. But once people start to get a little organized of taking care of the material needs, then they become just like China. Now in China, people have solved their eating and sleeping problem. They've got their food. They're pretty secure now. Now they're interested. They're looking for religion. They're interested in other things. They think about health, yoga, and all other things. But if your problem is simply you're not satisfied, I don't have the latest clothes, I want a nice car, I have to have 8 air conditioning in all my rooms, and like this, then there'll be no end. Never be satisfied. But if we accept what's provided by Krishna, we can be Krishna conscious. And we see people in Nepal and India, you know, in the villages and like that, people are very Krishna conscious. You know, they're maybe materially poor, but they're Krishna conscious. They understand everything is their karma. They're just working off their karma. And they just want to be Krishna conscious. The next life they can go back to God. Any other questions? Come. Okay, so Prabhupada, the key.